Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Mark Finnan, a writer in many genres, theatrical director and arts organizer. So we've been talking about your plays, Mark, but now perhaps we'll talk a little about your other writing. You've published three histories of Nova Scotian topics. What inspired these?
Well, I was in Nova Scotia working on a screenplay some years ago, and I fell into the famous Oak Island mystery story. And that really got me, as a former journalist, really grabbed my attention. And the more I looked at it, I really wasn't interested in it at first because I had other work to do. But because I, by happenstance, happened to be living, I'd rented a cottage on the waterside very, very close to Oak Island. So I couldn't escape it, and I did some investigating, and the more I did investigate and research it, the more fascinating that story became, and it just sucked me in. I knew I had to write a book about it, and ended up doing several TV documentaries over the years, yeah. But that then connected me with the publisher in Nova Scotia, who's been my publisher since Formac, and to a series of books about the mysteries of early history of the east coast of Canada.
So the other topics also mysteries then?
Well, there's an element of historical mystery about them. The one of the books, the Sinclair Saga, which I brought along today and will be happy to read from if you want me to, also involves a mystery concerning early voyages to Northern America, to Canada, in fact, following before the Vikings, even. So it was a very, very interesting subject, and because I'm interested in that topic, I got into it. And then I was drawn into the story of the very first settlement in Nova Scotia, which was authorized by King Charles I, and involved a man who was a poet, and as well as a playwright, as well as an adventurer, yeah.
Oh, not the usual sort of person you think of as founding
a
colony. Now, you've had a long journalistic career as well, so we've got playwright things, we've got books on interesting topics. What are you writing about currently?
I've written a number of, quite a few articles in relation to wellness, the environment, holistic living. And that they have gone out to a variety of magazines, and I'm presently doing an article for Brain Zine, which is a magazine out of Peterborough, which is an environmentally awareness magazine.
And the magazine, I didn't catch that?
Out of Peterborough.
Yes, what is its name?
Green Zine.
Green Zine, yeah. Oh, okay. Now, I believe you're also involved with the Lakefield Literary Festival.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as a result of doing a production for the Lang Pioneer Village, they wanted to bring history alive, and they wanted to do something dramatic rather than just have passive explanations of history. Mm-hmm. So they asked me to come up with a script, and it was sponsored, I think, by a special grant they received from Heritage Canada. And so there was a commission was put out, and I was selected to write a script, which was called Words from the Wilderness. And it was about the lives of Susanna Moody, Catherine Bartrell, Samuel Strickland, and Valencia Crawford, Isabella Valencia Crawford, one of Canada's.
So these four different plays, or a play that involves?
It was all done in the way, so we had different scenes. As people walked around the village, scenes came to life related to the lives of these writers, of these characters. Because it had to do with the literary history of the area. Mm-hmm. And that, because of some people came to see that, they then asked me to do something similar for the Lakefield Literary Festival. It's because Lakefield, of course, is where some of these people actually live. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing there this year. So that's got me involved. It's a very, very extensive festival. It goes on for 3 days, and from July the 14th to the 16th.
Okay.
People can go online and just look up Lakefield Literary Festival. There's a whole spate of writers, some very new writers, some well-established writers, and they will not only be reading from their latest works, but also doing some craft workshops, in other words, writer's craft. Mm-hmm. There's a workshop on blogging. there's quite a variety of events taking place over the weekend. And then on a Saturday morning, I have the privilege of talking about the lives of Susanna Moody, Catherine Bartrail, Valencia Crawford, and Margaret Lawrence, as I take people around and visit the sites where they actually lived.
Wow. You do some interesting things.
It's fun. It keeps me busy.
Well, perhaps you'd read for us again.
Certainly. What I have here is one of my books, The Sinclair Saga. And just to set this up, The Sinclair Saga is about a man known as Prince Henry Sinclair. And anybody who's read about Brown knows what I'm talking about, Sinclair Castle, Roslyn Castle, all of that. And when I investigated this story, I realized that it tied in with the whole era of the very interesting era of the Knights Templars and so forth.
Okay.
Because the Sinclair family in Scotland were reputed to be the inheritors of the treasure of the Knights Templars, the missing treasure, and so forth. So it had this fascinating mystery attached to it, and that's what I wrote about. So here's a section from one of the chapters of the book. It's about the Knights of the Temple. The first crusade was launched by Pope Urban II in 1095 in Clermont, central France, in a bid to win back Jerusalem and the other sites associated with early Christendom from centuries of Muslim control. It was an opportunity for the Church to try to direct the socially disruptive forces of the warlords of Western and Central Europe in a united act of military chivalry against a common enemy, the Seljuk Turks. Hordes of these fierce horseback warriors had been pouring out of Eurasia and overrunning the Christian Byzantine Empire in the east. There was great concern that the ancient capital of Constantinople, which had been founded by Constantine the Great in 330 AD, would be attacked. The Byzantine Emperor Alexius I made an urgent appeal to the Pope of the day for military aid. He could not have had any idea that his appeal would give rise to a holy war involving most of the medieval world, and which would have long-lasting consequences on the histories of both Europe and the Middle East. Urban II seized the opportunity to stir up a religious frenzy that sent a number of the nobles of Europe marching east with their various armies. Their purpose, as preached by the Pope and the Catholic clergy, was no longer just to help their fellow Christians in beleaguered Byzantium, but to proceed onwards into Syria and Palestine and retake Jerusalem, the original spiritual center of the Christian world. Unfortunately, although the crusade was joined by numerous courageous men with sincere religious convictions, it was used by some to harass and kill many European non-believers, mostly Jews, along the way. Long before they reached the Holy Land, many crusaders, both French and German, behaved like buccaneers, plundering and pillaging, spilling blood, reaping the easily acquired spoils of an army on the move. It was not surprising, therefore, given the religious fanaticism that fueled the crusade and the harsh, death-dealing realities of the long journey across Europe and Asia Minor, that crusaders indulged in an orgy of killing when Jerusalem was eventually captured some 4 years later. The merciless execution of its inhabitants took no account of the moderate treatment meted out by Muslim rulers to Christian pilgrims, who for centuries had been allowed to visit the Holy Land and pray at Christian shrines. In advocating that one could storm the gates of heaven with sword in hand, a hand covered with the blood of the unbelieving enemy, Rome had unwittingly unleashed a slaughter as horrific as anything the world has seen since.
Well, that food for thought anyway. Well, many thanks, Mark. We're running out of time now, so perhaps we could just remind listeners about the dates of that Lakefield Literary Festival and the website for getting tickets.
It's July the 14th, 15th, and 16th, and if you go on www.lakefieldliteraryfestival.com, you get all the information you need.
Perfect. And where can listeners buy your books?
Chapters online or some chapter stores, probably still carry them, or can get them for you.
Great. Excellent. And listeners, if you'd like to connect with us here at Word on the Hills, please go to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our previous broadcasts archived, so you can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. We'd also love to hear your comments and suggestions, and you can leave them there at the website. Thanks for tuning into the show. We hope you join us again for another program next week, right here on Northumberland 897 Truly Local Radio.